Well, as I say, if you've got a Bible with you, can you please turn with me to the first letter of Peter and chapter 1. First letter of Peter and chapter 1. And I do pray that the Holy Spirit is going to really teach us what Peter is saying in these verses 3 to 5 today. But just really to get you thinking, if I were to ask you what you think mankind's greatest need was, what would you say? What do you think mankind's greatest need was? If you're a non-Christian here today, then maybe you would say something like, well, given the events of last week, and we've seen in Paris those terrible things, surely freedom from such things, freedom from such terror, to live in peace and safety is really our greatest need. And it certainly is a great need. Great need when you think of the terrible plight of the many Syrian refugees that there are. Or maybe you might say just slightly more selfishly, just health and wealth and happiness. That's all we need, isn't it, to make us complete as human beings. If you're a non-Christian, maybe they're the sort of things that you think. But what about you? If you're a Christian here today, what would you say that mankind's greatest need was? Well, I hope that you'd say the same as me. Mankind's greatest need is salvation, is to be reconciled to God, is to come to Jesus Christ and find peace with God. And this is what Peter really is saying in this part of his letter this morning. He says, blessed, that is, praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the great salvation that God has granted through the gospel. He's going to come to the many afflictions that the church is suffering. Soon enough, he starts mentioning them in verse 6. But first, he says, rejoice. Rejoice over the great salvation that you enjoy in Christ. You could have been cast away forever. Instead, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So firstly, I want to speak about two things really today. Firstly, I want to speak about salvation. I want to explain what salvation is. I want to explain how to get it. And then secondly, in the second part of my talk, if we get time, I would speak about two of the blessings of salvation. Two of those blessings, which are the inheritance that we receive and the assurance that is in our hearts of salvation. So some very big things. So I hope we have time for them all. So first of all, what is salvation? What is salvation? Well, let me give you an illustration. A few weeks ago, I went on a short holiday with my wife. It was our 25th wedding anniversary. And we went to Sorrento. And we had this really amazing hotel room, which I think they gave us because I told them it was my 25th wedding anniversary. It had a very beautiful views over the Bay of Naples. Fantastic. Very high up in the hotel. A very sheer drop down. Really, really sheer drop down. Very, very many meters down. Right into the sea. The fire escape actually wasn't very easy to get to. Now you can imagine what it was like. My wife was a bit nervous. Maybe, well, there's a fire escape. How do you get there? But you can imagine, couldn't you? Say you were lying in your bed, that you've enjoyed a lovely meal, you've seen the sun set over the Bay of Naples, you're lying there drifting off to sleep, and then the fire alarm goes off. You imagine, can't you? The fire alarm goes off. I don't know, maybe you've had that experience and you just lie there and go, oh, fire alarm, that's false alarm. Fire alarm goes off. And it keeps going off. And a few minutes, you think, oh, maybe I better just check. A few minutes later, and you get up, and you go to the door, and there's smoke coming under the door. Okay, so there's smoke coming under the door. And you feel the door, and it feels warm. Now, it's not, sad, not funny anymore, is it? And you go to the balcony, and you look down. It's not funny anymore. There's no fire escape. There's no way out. You can't get down because it's a long way down. No one can see you because you're looking out at sea. It's not funny anymore, is it? Not funny. No way of escape. You can't save yourself. There's no way of rescue. A terrible situation. And then wonderfully, You see a helicopter coming towards you. And you see the helicopter lets down a ladder. And the ladder comes down. And there's someone at the end of the ladder. And they are encouraging you to go up. And you and your wife are saved. Saved from a situation in which you could not save yourself. You're saved. This is an illustration of salvation. You see, we all need to be rescued. We all need to be saved. You do. I do. We all need to be saved. What do I mean? Well, we're not all trapped in a burning building. And yet, in a sense, we are all trapped in a building that's destined to be burned. Unless we do something about it. Unless something is done about it. What I mean is we have all sinned. We have all broken God's laws. We have all put ourselves in an impossible situation from which we cannot rescue ourselves. Just to clarify, just in case you don't know, what's sin? Sin is disobedience to the revealed will of God. So we have the Bible. This is the revealed will of God. If you have disobeyed it in any way, then you have sinned against him. You may say, well, I've never read it, so how do I know? Well, I'm afraid ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law. If you've broken it, you've broken it. It's like me saying, oh, I didn't know murder was wrong when you said when you stood before the judge. Now you're telling me, of course, it's wrong. It's written down in the book, the law. If it's wrong, if it's sin, it's wrong. And you know, it's not half obedience God requires. God requires perfect obedience to his revealed will. And just even not keeping his law perfectly puts an impenetrable barrier between him and us. As we thought about with the children, God is of too pure eyes to behold evil and cannot look upon wickedness. So we have broken his law, we've built an impenetrable barrier between him and us. But law does more than that, doesn't it? Law incurs punishment. You know, if I steal something, I've broken the law and I expect to be punished. Or if I murdered someone, I've broken the law and I expect to be punished. Law breaking incurs punishment. We've all broken God's law. We've all broken God's law. And everything is open for the eyes of him to which we must give an account. Our law breaking must be punished. But it's not with a fine. It's not with imprisonment for a certain length of time and then release. And this is very awesome. The punishment that our law breaking brings is a very terrible thing. The Bible tells us we are cast, will be cast forever, into an awful place. A place the Bible calls hell. A terrible place. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us, in picture language no doubt, but I suspect the suffering is worse than this, to a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. A terrible place. A place which must be avoided at all costs, and yet we cannot avoid it in our own strength. It is inevitably ours. Because we are all sinners, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, we're in an impossible situation. We need to be rescued. We need to be saved from our sins. And we cannot do that. We need a rescuer to come. We need something to come from outside, like that helicopter came to save us from our situation. You see, the hotel room, wasn't it? It was like a prison in the end. The door was hot. The handle was glowing, the smoke was coming in, and the helicopter came, and a rope ladder came down, and there was a rescuer at the end. Let's take that illustration a bit more. So the rescuer is at the end, and he's urging you to go up the ladder, and your wife goes up, and then you go up, but you turn around and say to him, what about you? What about you? And he says, there's only two places in the helicopter. You and your wife go up. I'm going to stay here. And you look and you think, is that right? And you go up. And the helicopter goes away. the rescuer stayed to die so that you might live. And that's exactly how we have to be saved if we're going to be saved. Someone needs to come from outside our situation. Someone full of mercy. Someone who is going to take the place that we deserve to take, to take the punishment we deserve to have, that we might be saved. That we might be saved. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, how is that rescue achieved? Peter tells us, doesn't he, in verse 2, where he says, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter's referring to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. For on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bears not just physical death, but he bears the full eternal punishment that all of our sins deserved. It's like a transfer of my sin to him. Again, a little bit later in the letter, Peter says, who his own self bare our sins, in his body on the tree. Lord Jesus Christ dies, bearing the punishment that my sin, that our sins, that your sins deserve, if you put your trust in him. This is one aspect of what Peter calls his abundant mercy. No wonder Peter blesses God for it, because although we